Oh, what a living legend we have on the line. Bill, how are you, Coach?
Well, I'm fine, Gentry. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. The holiday season always, it's a stressful time, but it does put me in a good mood, I got to say. How about you? You got a lot of children to look after. I read somewhere 29 kids when you count the grandkids and your kids. Is that true?
Well, there's 29 in the family. We've got five children and 10 grandchildren and now six great-grandchildren.
Whoa, see, that would be a little stressful for Christmas. Who does all the shopping for all these kids?
Well, it's getting to the point where I just write checks.
Okay, there you go. I'm sure they're really happy with that. Our guest right now, the legendary coach, Bill Snyder. Of course, all those great years at K-State. I'd like to talk to you about that, the genesis, when you took this job over, because from what I understand, obviously a bad team. You took over the worst team in the country. But even the people that were around the program and the fans were not a fan of you in the beginning. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. I don't really know about that. I think people were very positive, I thought, and the young people and the people of the community were very positive when I came. Now, they didn't know me, and I'd never been a college head coach prior to that. But, Kansas State was the losingest program in the history of college football. It was the only program in the history of the game that had lost over 500 games. There were, we had 45 players on scholarship at the time, and that was when you could have 95 on scholarship. All the rest had left the team. There was not a player in the program that had ever participated in a football game in which they had won. So they were looking forward to, anything. So I don't think that they were negative about me. They were just, hopeful, I think, as much as anything. They didn't know what was going to take place, but they were hopeful.
And I'm sure it took a while. How long did it take before you actually got the town to believe that, hey, we might have a team that can compete here?
Well, the first year, we won only one ball game. The second year, we won four. Then the next year, we won five. Then we won seven, then nine, then 10, then 11, 6 years in a row.
Wow.
So it was just gradual improvement. And that was the basis of the program. You know, as I shared with everyone, the players included, that it wasn't about anything other than us just becoming a little bit better every single day and being committed to that particular value. And that's exactly the way it happened. And over that period of time, that was it proved to be true. And after a while, the players began to believe in it, the fans believed in it, and it worked out.
And in your new book, I'm sure you hear a lot about that patience and persistence that it took. His new book, Bill Snyder, the Hall of Fame football coach, My Football Life, and the rest of the story. What do you think were the keys to turning it around? When you were sitting in that office and looking at a team that hadn't won a game, where did you start? Maybe a CEO of a business is listening to this interview and they can compare it to football. But when you're on your big whiteboard, what are the keys to turning around something that's just at the bottom?
Well, I think it's, a number of intrinsic values. I think the first part is, for young people to realize, what their capabilities are and to create greater expectations for themselves. Most of the young people that were in the program had tremendous limitations on their own abilities and felt as though they were incapable of achieving successes, and it impacted other facets of their life. It impacted their grades and their personal lives, and to be able to turn that part of it around where the expectations were far greater, and to set standards, to set objectives, reaching in an attempt to reach certain goals, and those objectives being small steps. So that we could take, very small steps every single day towards becoming better in our personal lives, better in our academic lives, better on the football field, and seeing that improvement take place, and that encouraged them to continue to strive to reach or to achieve those small objectives to eventually reach the goals that they desired. So I think a commitment to that was probably as significant as anything.
And what was the commitment to writing this book like? Because I know that from what I read was that you weren't really looking to write a book, but you teamed up with a friend, and he talked you into it, and here we are. Now we're talking about My Football Life and the rest of the story, which, by the way, available wherever you get your books. But what was the journey like? How did the opportunity present itself?
Well, he's a good writer. He'd written another book about a program several years before. He's also a good writer, and he was with a writing for a program here in Manhattan, and was released from that position. And I wanted to help him out, so I told him we could start on a book and help him, put some bread on the table, and consequently we did.
A lot of people know the title of the book, My Football Life, and the rest of the story. A lot of people know your football story. What are some of the things that we could find in the book that are the rest of the story? So maybe some off-the-field stuff?
Well, yes, quite a bit of that. I think it really is kind of a life story. It starts when I was a young child, and I talked about my mother and my grandparents and about growing up and going to school and eventually on to college, and then about my family, my present family, wife and children, and some of the things that they were involved in, and really virtually all aspects of my life. But there isn't much more. I've never had hobbies, so to speak, and didn't do a lot of things maybe that other people do, just because so much time was invested in football.
Well, you were an athlete yourself, right? I mean, growing up, did you play a lot of football? Right, you end up playing college ball.
Well, I was really not very good at anything, but I played really all sports. I was probably my best skills probably were in swimming. I was a competitive swimmer. I played basketball. I played baseball, ran track, basketball, and football. And I went to college, and I swam in college and played baseball and football. Tried basketball, all of them. I mean, I just really love sports. And like I said, I was never very good at any of them, but I enjoyed doing it.
You talk about growing up in a different time as well, before the cell phones, before a lot of things happened. It was a whole different time. I can even remember in middle school where if you did something wrong, the vice principal had a paddle hanging up, and for a lack of better words, coach, they'd beat your ass if you got out of line. That's not the way that it is nowadays. Could you talk about the way you grew up? I mean, you had to be disciplined to play sports back in those days. How different was it the way you came up as opposed to the way these kids are coming up these days?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, because I think, children are a product of their parents. And, I was blessed to have a mother. I was a only child to a single parent. And my mother was fantastic. And she set the standard for my life. So I grew up, I was fortunate, in my life growing up. And I think, at schools, the discipline was great. One of my best friends was vice principal, and I probably spent more time in his office than I should have, because he was in charge of discipline. But today, I think it's there's that instant self gratification that kind of slips into the lives of young people today, not all, but in some. And I think it's kind of, I want it now, and if I can't have it now, I'm going to move on to something else, and it affects their presence in the classroom and, how they conduct themselves, I think, as much as anything. Like I say, that's not everybody. I know young people with the day and I know some wonderful, wonderful young people. So it's, a little bit of both.
We're talking right now with the legendary College Football Hall of Famer, Bill Snyder. He's wrote a new book. It's called My Football Life and the Rest of the Story. Looking back on this journey of writing this book, what was the chapter for you that was the hardest to write? Was there one that was more difficult than maybe the others?
Oh, I don't necessarily think so. No. Scott Pritchin, the author, sat down and at the stadium in a suite, when we had time, and we just talked. He'd ask questions, and I'd answer the questions, and he'd tape it and write it down, and then when he'd write it up, he'd let me look at it, and it was not a difficult process at all, and I don't think there was any part of it that was more difficult than anything else. Maybe a couple of segments, but for the most part, it was a pretty simple process.
Yeah, maybe that 1998 Big 12 championship game. I know there was some snippets in there, a lot written about that. It seems like that one still leaves a bad taste in your mouth. What a tough loss. You would have been in the national championship game had you won, but hey, that's sometimes the way the cookie crumbles, as they say.
Well, and you're right about that. That was probably a difficult moment when we were writing about that. It still brings back, some harsh memories. But it was. That was, and I took that probably harder than I should. But I think, like all coaches, we look at defeats a lot longer than we do victories.
Hey, what you accomplished at K-State, I know some friends of mine who went to Kansas State, and you're God to them. Actually, you're one step down. It's God and then Bill Snyder is the way, the order there in Manhattan. At one point, you actually had an NFL offer. Is that true? And you didn't even have to interview for the job. They called you and they said, come on down. We got an NFL gig for you. But you didn't take it. Is that true?
Well, it was kind of an amazing thing. I got a call one day, and they asked me, did I get the contract in the mail? which I had. I received the contract before I ever heard from them. But people at Kansas State have in the community of Manhattan have been so gracious to me and my family, and I just felt loyalty was. It was a part of our program, was loyalty, and I wanted to be able to justify that and stay loyal to the program, and I did. So I was not going to be responsive to other offers.
Yeah, well, me as a Notre Dame guy, I really am an Irish guy. It's upsetting that Brian Kelly is not going to be coaching in the bowl game this year. I know that was something that you, even when you were considering possibly taking another job, you wouldn't consider it until the end of a season. It's got to be tough for those kids, right, that have a coach all year, and now it's the biggest game of the year, and coach won't be on the sideline. That's a difficult situation, right?
That truly is. A number of things and a number of incidents like that or similar to it, are taking place right now. And I can't speak for others, but, something certainly that I wouldn't entertain.
Well, come on, Coach. You're playing LSU in the bowl game. I mean, the Tigers, let's just face it. We want the Cats to just slay these sons of guns. Isn't that how you feel? Let's pin Brian Kelly. Let's give him a real big welcome to LSU coming up in the bowl game. What do you say, Coach?
There you go. Yeah, good choice. I like your choice of words.
There you go. We're talking with Bill Snyder. The new book is My Football Life and the Rest of the Story. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. And any thoughts on the game coming up, the Texas Bowl? How do you think the Cats line up against those other little sissy cats?
Well, I hear that there's, with the transition that is taking place there and a number of players that have left, and we've been fortunate to retain really our people. here. I think the Cats will do well.
And are you traveling to the game? Will all 29 of you pack up and head to the ball game?
We will be in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl and an event there, and then we haven't decided yet whether we'll get over to the ball game. We did last year, made both trips, and we may this year, but I'm uncertain yet.
There was one other thing I wanted to ask you. Recently in college football, they have this name, image, and likeness, where now these kids can make money off of their image. How does that change a coaching approach, or are you happy for the kids? I mean, it's a complicated situation as well.
Well, it truly is. I think there's a far better way to do it. I think they could, you know, a number of years ago, the NCAA passed a bylaw in which universities, a scholarship consisted of additional funds that were outright cash to young people. I think it was somewhere between $500 and $800. So it was for every scholarship athlete that you had in the program, and it was for every university in the country. So it was equal across the board. This is not, and I think it's going to create some major issues. For example, you know, your quarterback can go down the street and get some kind of a deal cut for, you know, $500,000 dollars and do it. And an offensive lineman, you know, nobody's interested in the offensive lineman. So, you know, somebody may give him $50 to make an appearance. And pretty soon that offensive lineman is looking around and saying, listen, I'm protecting you. And, you know, I'm the guy that blocks for you and keeps people from knocking you on the ground. And, you know, you're getting $1 million and I'm getting 50 bucks. This doesn't sound right, you know. Pretty soon those offensive linemen are going to start talking to each other and say, let's let one through, you know, a couple of times here and see what happens.
Let's make him earn that money.
Well, I think it's going to create some issues within football programs. And then rule violations, you know, are going to be, you know, adamant. I think that's going to be a problem. And then, you know, I think pretty soon, you know, you've got young people that are saying, you know, I make more money doing this than I can in whatever career I choose. I'm going to spend my time out trying to influence people to, you know, give me money for my name. And consequently, they're going to spend, you know, time doing that. That's time away from academics and time away from football. There are a lot of issues with it, a lot of issues. And I think time's going to come where, you know, they're going to see. I think most people already see the issues with it. And I think one school, I want to say it was Nebraska, I'm not quite certain, took the money that was coming in from a particular organization or company, whatever it was, and they evenly distributed amongst all their players. I think that was a positive thing, good thing to do. They did it that way, then I could live with it.
You make some great points. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, Coach. My best to you and your family, and hopefully some continued good health. How are you feeling these days?
Oh, I feel fine. Doing well, Ginger.
That's great to hear. All right, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thank you for your time, and go Cats. Let's beat up LSU and Brian Kelly.
Well, and you have a great, you and your family have a great Christmas as well. Thank you much, Ginger.
All right. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.